Okay, so obviously I'm not Nick today. As Susan sent out earlier today, we've had a quick switch of plans. Nick actually moved this week, and she and I were talking this morning. She was going to really try to make it to be here, but you know, this is part of what we're about here at Working with Dog, and it's really being able to reduce that stress that we feel from our daily life and be there to pitch hit for each other. And that's a huge part of what Nick and I provide to each other. So I just said, you know what? I know you want to do it. I know you want to be there, but you know, focus on your family, focus on your move. And I got the Q&A today. So she says, hello, she sends her love. She's sorry to not see you all this time. But she said that the accountability call last week went really, really well. Who here was able to attend that? Julie, nice. Jennifer, Jenny, nice. Great. And just checking in, hey, Jennifer. So how have these accountability calls, how has the new content been going for everyone? Obviously, you know, we're a couple months into previewing some of the new format, new done-for-you content here at Working with Dogs. So it's really important to hear your feedback and be able to know what's working, what could maybe work better, what might be able to be added or taken away or whatnot. I see Jane saying great support, very helpful. Wonderful. Thank you, Jane. You were able to attend. Love the accountability calls. Great. And Susan, thank you for putting the October content link in the chat there. Jennifer says, I'd love to have two accountability calls per month. And Jennifer, were you the one who brought that up last month? There was someone who did. So you're not the only one saying it. And we are definitely taking that into account. We're figuring out how do we give you the accountability and the get stuff done focus without adding too many calls to everyone's plate. Because, you know, if you add too many calls, people feel guilty if they can't attend, which is the complete opposite of what we're trying to do here at Working with Dogs. So Nick and I are definitely talking about adding a second accountability call and what that means for the rest of the schedule and what, you know, members are really finding helpful versus, you know, feeling a little more guilty about if they don't get to all the time, which again is completely the opposite of the purpose.
So Jane, yes. Karen, I just wanted to piggyback on that. I was going to say that this month, the accountability call was good because it was earlier. So so for me in a way, and I understand the whole thing about two calls, which would be wonderful, but I'm almost treating this one as the second one. But if there's too close together, then they're not, if you understand what I mean. So like we got the accountability call, I think 2 weeks ago, right? Maybe, I don't remember now the days going to, which was at least gives you, you know, you can work on that and then you can go away and work on stuff and then come to this call if you have questions or something. But if it's like those two calls are too close to one another, which I think is what happened the first time, the first month, then it's almost like they just, it's not as helpful is I guess what I'm saying.
That's great feedback, Karen. Thank you. And definitely something that we'll continue to keep in mind. We don't know where the accountability calls are going to land permanently. So we are taking all of that into account. Thank you. And Jane says, I think two calls a month would be a game changer and provide support, connection, and continuity. I thought this month's format of 1 2-hour call and 1 1-hour call is very helpful. Deadlines and touchstones are helpful to stay connected and on track. Absolutely. And Jennifer had said, one for social media, maybe one for newsletters and blog posts. Yeah. So perhaps breaking up the accountability calls to specific topics. You know, here's what we're going to focus on this time. This is what we're going to focus on that time. Could be helpful as well. Thank you, everyone, so much. And hey, everyone who I did not say hello to, I see a few more people have popped in since I said hello. So we are here. Today's the Q&A, obviously. The theme of the month is sales pages, landing pages. And I thought Nick just did a brilliant job of putting together a done for you sales page and then bringing you through that and also showing the resources for how to launch something like that. We have an old accountability call from last year that I think I led. And it's all about how do you, once you build the sales page, get it out there and get eyeballs and drive people to it. Are there any specific questions? They can be around this or around other things. Any burning questions that anyone really, really wants to cover today? And welcome, Lenora. Okay, Karen says, I have one.
Yeah, so I am working on my sales page and I'm following basically the template, which is great. It's still a lot of work. It's deceivingly simple. But I'm just wondering what the thought, something stands out to me, and what is the thought around? So basically what Nick has put together here is you put the headline, you do a timer if it's kind of a countdown thing, a testimonial hot headline, and then there's a button and a call to action. And I'm just wondering, what do you put on that? Because if I was reading that, I wouldn't know what, the whole point is I don't know what I'm buying yet. I don't know what I'm doing yet. So I don't know if that's meant to be a different call to action, or is it the same, like, is it just taking them to a page to transact, or I don't know what that is.
Great question. So on a sales page, what we often see works best is giving them multiple points of entry to just jump to that sale. Like when you first have a sales page and you've asked them the three kind of core important questions, you know, imagine if, or what if you were able to do this? Or what if you didn't fear losing this? Whatever those kind of primary entry points and real emotional triggers are, some people at that point, science shows us, you know, data shows us, some people just want to jump to the product description and see the pricing and be able to buy now. So in there, you can have a button with a call to action that's like, okay, are you in? Here's how you can solve this problem right now. The majority of people won't do that. The majority of people will continue to scroll and kind of be brought through that sales experience where they then need to see, okay, what are you actually talking about? What is, what's your authority in being able to solve this issue for me? And how are you doing it? They want to learn a little bit more before they're ready to jump. But typically that call to action and that button are just an anchor link or a quick link that drops you down to the bottom of the page where you have the product description and you have the three options for what to buy or the one option of what to buy. And you can buy right there.
Okay. So all of those call to action buttons, because there's a few, as you mentioned, all lead basically to the pricing section on the same page, or does it go to another page?
On the same page. So the core with a sales page like this is you typically don't want to drive anywhere else. And a lot of sales pages in something like if you're using lead pages to build it, will even take off that top navigation off of the top of your website, because you want people to stay in that experience. You don't want people to get distracted and go elsewhere.
So would you happen to know what that's called in WordPress? Because I've never done a link to within a page. Like I can Google it. I just don't know what it's called.
Anchor link. A-N-C-H-O-R. And it's not going to be an option in the dropdown when you're creating a link. But here, one moment, let me just give you a quick anchor link, how to. Okay, in this case, HubSpot's calling it a jump link. That's the same thing. The idea is that it anchors you to a specific part of a specific page, or it jumps you down to a lower part on the page. And I just put in a link so that everyone can just see a tutorial on how to do that, how to build those links. They're pretty easy as long as you're comfortable with just adding a adding a link within your content.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, any other burning questions about landing pages, about sales pages, or anything else that's been going on in your business?
I had a question just kind of like outside. So actually I had two questions, one for you and one for Nick. So it was like, it didn't matter which one of you showed up. So we had our branding webinar that we did. So me and three other ladies got together and we just created a webinar that was a first for a bunch of us. It was really huge. Huge for us. It wasn't like a huge event at all. But so we had a really good turnout. We ended up getting like 36 people that registered. We had about, I need to go back and look at the numbers. I think we had about, and a couple people came in and then had to leave or came in late. We had about 15 that showed up. So that was really cool. So that we actually had some faces that we were able to talk to. We did it in a Zoom and we did it so we could see each other. And we had the slideshow and everything went real well. So my question is for you is, we believe that we want to do it again, especially now that like most of the hard work is done and we can just like tweak it and do stuff. So my question to you is, what is the best way to follow up on something like that? How long would you go between webinars? And also, how is there a proper way of shutting one down? I just realized that I never did anything in ConvertKit to like say, you know, this is like past overdue. So I'm like, people can still go to the link and sign up, but it's like the thing already happened. If they found like an old Facebook post.
I see.
So I'm trying to figure out what your thoughts are as far as how we can take this forward, and what I should be doing to close something down. What we are doing is we're trying to figure out how to, we did record it and we're trying to figure out how to, and we created a YouTube channel, but for some reason there's pixelation in the video. So the girl that's working on that is trying to figure out why that is. So we're going to share it to those that registered.
Good.
So that's how we're finalizing this one. And we've captured their email addresses. So now we're just trying to figure out what we, the best procedures for going forward with something like that, when you do a webinar on topics and actually have some interest.
Absolutely. And so, Lenora, are you most interested, and we can cover both of these, but are you most interested in how to take the 15 people who showed up and kind of bring them down your funnel and towards something that they may buy? Or are you interested in taking the content, taking the branding webinar that you've now created and using it as kind of an evergreen sales funnel for you, you know, top of entry, bringing new people in to the business in the easiest way? Again, we can talk about both if the answer
is. I'm thinking repeating the webinar. So going live, tweaking it and getting better.
Yep.
Because obviously it was the first time. I think we did really awesome for, you know, how we did it. But I mean, there's always room for improvement and going back and looking at the slides and rethinking things and stuff like that. So one is from the perspective of going forward and maybe in repeating the webinar, how long should we wait? Because with branding, what I'm thinking of is, with the new year coming, I'm trying to figure out whether, you know, you would think December before the new year, but people are distracted in December. So I'm thinking maybe if we did it again, like towards the beginning of January.
How long did you take to promote the webinar before you, like from the day you started announcing it to the day it happened? What was
about 4 weeks? About 4 weeks. And that's, and actually the promotion part is where we need to work the most on, because our time was kind of scattered between completing the stuff and doing our jobs that we didn't promote as fully as we can now, knowing that most of the work is already done.
I'd give yourself at least 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks in the future, especially if you're creating something new. But if you're reusing and just kind of tweaking and showing up live to represent the same pieces that you've done, I would give yourself at least 6 weeks in the future to get a really good ground level promotion of, here, this is coming. Make sure to sign up. Make sure to give us your info. You know, let's work on getting everyone excited about it and then reminding everyone to show up. I wouldn't go farther, or I wouldn't go longer.
Yeah, but I find 6 weeks actually kind of surprising, because nobody knows what their calendar is in 6 weeks, and nobody wants to like dedicate that time that far in advance. So I was curious about that.
I would push back on that, Lenora, because I think what you'll find is a lot of people, like you said, don't know what their schedule is going to look like in 6 weeks. So they'll be more likely to say yes, because their calendar is not already booked.
Okay.
And when you're providing something, was this a free webinar?
Oh yeah, totally free. We did it during lunch.
Yeah. So when you're providing a freebie webinar, you're always going to have a certain number of people who drop off. Typically it's about half of the registrants. So you saw, you know, a very typical turnaround, but you're providing something that is really valuable, that businesses want, that businesses are looking for. So they're not going to be shy about committing, and they're not going to be shy about showing up, as long as something else more pressing didn't.
Okay.
Happen. I think 6 weeks is totally fine.
Okay. Okay.
And I wouldn't go more than 8 weeks because of the issue that you're talking about, and because life does happen and you're going to have more and more people who sign up who then aren't able to make it. You know, life happened, something else happened. But if you do that kind of sweet spot between 6 to 8 weeks, really, really start promoting it hardcore over those last 6 weeks, and making sure that people get reminders right up to the day, you know, hey, this is happening next week. Are you sure you're still able to make it? You know, reconfirm, or, you know, reschedule if you're not able to make it. That's one thing that you can do, is if people do have something that's popped up on their calendar, they can't make it then, you give them an option to schedule for the next one, which can be, you know, a quarter out or however far. That also does give them the opportunity to see that, oh, this is only happening once a quarter, or this is only happening every few months. So more incentive to show up for the actual day that it's happening. Okay. So, you know, send them a reminder the week before, send them a reminder the day before, send them a reminder an hour, and, you know,
yeah, we did do that. Yeah.
Like that whole sequence. And I know it feels like a bear, but it's actually really helpful for people, and give them that option to reschedule if they need, if you're able to plan, if you are able to plan that far out. Then I would plan on doing something like that about once a quarter. And with the goal of, after you do it maybe two or three times, figure out how to automate 90% of that. Figure out how to record it and not have to be on the call live for the whole time. So, Lenora,
okay,
my homework to you in the next 3 months is do this, you know, one more time. Come back when you have your set lesson that you're really happy with, and then come back to me or Nick, and let's talk about how to automate that, so you're not always having to spend.
Right. Okay.
On those calls. Okay. So don't worry about that yet, but we'll talk about that next. And in the meantime, if you're not already, I know you're capturing their email addresses and you're sending them a recording of the webinar itself, but if you're not doing a follow-up series of emails, you should. That's something to start right away. For sending them two or three emails following up saying, hey, one, how was your experience? Make sure to get some quotes on what went really well, what you would, or what they would have liked to see more of. That's going to help you enhance your curriculum and make it even more valuable. You can also take those quotes and share them as you're promoting the next one and say, this is what attendees said, which is super valuable. Okay. And in addition to that, giving those people who attended and who said that they had a great time, give them a special, offer them some kind of promotion and make it a one-time promotion where, hey, you know, they have 7 days to take advantage of your personal brand photography package that they can come in and get, you know, some 25% off of or something like that. And that is going to be a huge, huge conversion factor for you. You know, you're being able to take those people who have really followed you all the way down that funnel and bring them and convert them to something as soon as possible. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Except for the 25% off part, because that coincides with other that I've learned is basically adding value instead of cutting your prices.
Whatever your promotion is. So it doesn't need to be 25% okay. off. It can be, hey, you know, get double the value, get double the number okay. of images, get double the number, whatever it is.
Okay.
But offer them something super valuable, like really that no-brainer deal that Nick always talks about.
Okay. Would now be a good time, and I can wait again until everybody recycles because other people have questions. If I was to share a link to, I'm working with a magazine, and I would love just another person's thought, or actually all of y'all's thoughts, if you want, what it looks like and what is missing and what I could do to change or anything like that.
Absolutely. You know what, Lenora, let's come back.
Yeah.
I'll make sure that we have time for you after. And in the meantime, everyone, Lenora just shared the link. So take a look, take some time to poke at it and think about it. And we'll all come back and provide some feedback soon. And I do.
Yeah, the ad's at the bottom of page 8. So you have to forward through the magazine.
So page 8 on the Woodlands issue 2021-09, right?
Yes.
Great. Okay.
Thank you.
So I see a few more questions. Jane says, I'm in the process of running my first multi-brand giveaway and using the glean.io platform. I'd love to show you the sign-up page and get your feedback. Jane, why don't you show it? Okay, here is the link.
I just dropped it in the chat.
Yeah.
And this is
share my screen.
Okay. A work in progress.
Okay. So Jane, why don't you bring us through what we're seeing here?
Okay, so it's a multi-brand giveaway designed to collect email addresses. And I haven't gotten to the next page where they'll click, that will give them a little bit more information. The challenge here with this little page that we have is to, you know, there's lots of prizes, there's lots of opportunities to win. The real estate is a little limited on this first page. Now, just to a frame of reference, people will be clicking here from all these different brands. And through either each brand's social or each brand's, you know, it's going to go out to their email list. So there will be information in the social posts, mm-hmm. and there will be information, obviously, in the email. And given that the real estate is so small on this first page, you know, I thought it was important to mention every brand, the total value in prizes, and to enter the form, which it doesn't show up on your screen because it's not live, they enter their name, their email address, and then they have to check that they're 18, you know, 18 or older.
Right. And I assume in the US.
Yes, in the US. And yeah, the terms and conditions, you know, they can click. And of course, you know, that it, what's nice about the Glean template is it puts all the rules in place for you, and then you can tweak them and edit them so to work for you.
So I love the really soft, witty ultimate parent giveaway.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I think it's really cute. I think knowing your audience, they're going to go for it. You know, they're going to say, oh, you know, this is sweet. This is cute. This is, what I love from my brands. And, you know, it's not appropriate language for every brand, but I think it works well in this instance. A few things. So when I see it in the graphic, it works. When I see it above, it looks like typos.
Okay.
So I would change that text up top, ultimate Paul Rint giveaway, and actually go back and look at the sales page layouts and okay, look at what is the headline there. The psychology of an opt-in page is the psychology of a sales page. It's just way shorter. You have to get from who are you, why do I care, why do I trust you, to what do I do now in, you know, 30 seconds or less, instead of potentially up to 5 minutes, which is what we see time spent on an actual sales page in a lot of cases. So not for e-commerce, by the way, that's a different stat. But for this, I would think about some kind of statement of value. What is it that they're going to get if they enter this? Chance to win amazing prizes for you and your pet, amazing prizes for you and your dog. Chance to try out some of the latest, greatest pet products at no cost to you. Whatever it is, call that out up top, and then have the actual call to action. Enter our ultimate Paw Rent giveaway.
Okay.
With, and you have over 500 in prizes and over 850 in prizes here. So that's something I'm sure. But my mind immediately goes to those numbers. So that's one of the first things that I see. I like the use of the logos. And when you're doing a promotion like this, of course, everyone wants their piece of the pie. But I think the logos are enough. I would not use them in any other text. Okay. On the page. I would use the space in that graphic and in the text below to go through, you know, those simple questions of imagine if, or what if, and then talk about some of the actual goodies that they could win. One legal note, you do have to be very careful to always say, you know, chance to win, enter for a chance to win, never say enter to win. You could get into a lot of trouble for that. It usually hits larger brands a lot harder than that, than smaller brands, but it is something that I've had enough large legal teams, you know, pound into my brain to share with you whenever I'm running any kind of giveaway. And really focusing on it, I would decide whether you're going to share what some of the prizes are or not. And if you're not going to share what the prizes are, play up the mystery of it. Play up the, you never know what you could get. You could get like the next great thing, or, you know, this amazing thing that you've always wanted to try, or play up that it's gamifying the game in some ways. It's making the game even more fun with the mystery of you don't even know what you could be qualified to win, but these are the great brands that are involved with, or do share what some of the prizes are and, you know, make them really impressive. Make sure that people understand, hey, you know, these are things that I would just love, love, love to have. How many winners are you going to draw and how are you going to draw them?
They're going to be random draw and we're going to have three winners. There's going to be a first and second and third prize. So the first prize winner wins a bigger package than the second prize winner and the third prize winner. And I think in the next page, you know, once they enter, when they click to share their email address, you know what? I'm not sure, actually. I'm just figuring out this platform. So I'm not sure if it, I think, it, I don't know what it elaborates on. There is somewhere there in there to put in prizes, but I'm not that far down the road yet. Go ahead.
On that, I would say that explicitly on this page. Say there's going to be three winners. First, you know, grand prize gets, and you can keep the mystery, but say, you know, as much as, or grand prize gets, you know, $300 worth of amazing, fun pet toys and da 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 da, and elaborate a little bit. Okay. And then, you know, say second prize, third prize, and just be as explicit as possible around that, because if people don't know what they're signing up for, and this doesn't have to do with prize, but if people don't know or fully understand how the contest works and what the offer is, they're not going to give you their email.
Okay.
It's a standard rule with anything collecting emails or trying to get people to link or click on a link. If they don't understand what it is or how it works, they're not going to do it. They're going to be afraid of it.
All right. That's very helpful. So what I heard you say, my takeaway is underneath the logos, instead of listing all the brands, talk more about the prizes, how cool it is, and what the, you know, the first, second, and third prize. And I think that there's a place in this platform to enter that. Like I said, I'm just familiarizing myself with it. But am I correct on what I said about removing the brand's names from the copy below?
Yeah, remove the brand's names from the copy. Just say, you know, X number of amazing pet brands or leading pet brands have teamed to bring you over 850 in prizes.
Yeah.
Here you say ready to win. You got to change that language. It's ready to enter to win, or enter for a chance to win, enter to win. Because psychologically you don't want to overpromise. Legally, you run into issues there. And I would make the three prizes as scannable as possible, where you're saying, you know, first prize, big, bold. Okay, here's a sentence about it, or some bullet points. Second prize, big, bold. Here's a sentence about it, or some bullet points. Make it scannable. Don't make me read. Don't make me run into a wall of text.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. That's very helpful. And do you think that, you know, I debated of making the image more square. You think the way that it's laid out works okay?
I'm going to put that question to everyone.
Okay.
What does everyone think? What's that image and that layout say to you guys?
This is Karen. I don't think the image is a great one.
Can you elaborate?
But okay, so this is coming not from a a normal person's perspective. This is coming from a photographer. So the dog is a little bit unbalanced. He's also not necessarily healthy.
I think the shading on the dog as well is just a little bit from that same perspective. He's not the blue and the wording and everything is really, you know, kind of like bright and, you know, fun. And I think this image of him is probably taken in the shade. It's just not as crispy and clear.
So you have two wonderful professional photographers who have called out the image. And I would agree with that.
I think he's been cut out too, right? You probably cut him out from somewhere else.
Yeah, and that's the intention, you know, is to just make this a big splash of color with copy that reads quickly and an image that just has a little bit of movement to it.
No, I love the movement. I'm wondering if one of the, if you don't have something in your arsenal already, maybe the other, one of the other brands may have something to contribute.
Thank you.
So I think, so there's some things that I like about this image and there's some things that I don't. And I think they're picking up on a lot of it. So Jane, the contrast of very, very bright white on the dog's face next to kind of the almost dusty, dirty gray on the shadow side of the body, next to the text giveaway with the kind of drop shadow effect that you have going on there feels busy.
Okay.
And I would say if you're looking for an image with movement, I'd say go with that. But can you find an image where the bright white isn't almost getting bleached out and the dog's not like a mottled body? Bless you. The dog's not a mottled body next to the giveaway so that it creates this almost, the whole line there feels a little jumbled or busy to me. If it were, for example, a dog that's jumping through something and even in the air, I've seen on Unsplash some of these photos. You can certainly buy some of them without backgrounds. Some more of them do have backgrounds, but you could blur out those backgrounds too. Having a dog that has just a solid light source that's not from one side of the face would probably make this feel more cohesive. Mm-hmm. And still have that sense of movement without necessarily it feeling like just shaky. One thing that I would try, and is there a reason you're going for movement in this?
You know, I like when a dog is looking directly at the camera and making contact with a viewer. And I think movement is a part of my brand, you know, so I just liked having something that felt active and alive.
Alive, absolutely. But in something like this, one of the things that we've noticed on a lot of opt-in pages for contests that we've done at Cause is a photo like this versus a photo of a close-up of a really happy dog breaking the fourth wall.
Uh-huh.
This doesn't perform as well.
Okay.
So that's happy good to know. Dog, tongue out, kind of going, you know,
yeah. And
just really kind of giving you that feeling of, yeah, I feel so good. Where it's a close-up tends to convert at a higher rate. And that's true of ads as well, but that's true of these kinds of landing pages statistically. So I think simplifying that and even simplifying it to the point where you do, you really blend out the background so it doesn't have to be a solid color.
Right.
So you have to you don't have to cut the dog out, would work really well as well. Do you know what I mean there?
Yeah, you're talking about just having the background blurred out. Part of why I wanted a cutout and I wanted the blue here is I wanted a quick read on the giveaway. And mm-hmm. then since there's all these logos and then the text, I just thought, you know, the simpler, the better.
Finding the right photo, finding the right image for a page like this, especially when you only get one, is one mm-hmm. of the hardest things to do.
Okay.
Take some time.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And otherwise, you know, I really like the way that you're building it. Excuse me. But I think simplifying it to know, okay, it can be on, say, a grassy background.
Yeah.
With the white word giveaway and the dog, you know, super close up and just a grassy background that's blurred out. And you'll still get that same effect without the cutout.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I think I saw two more messages come in. Lenora sent some iStock photos that might work. And Allison, no worries about the sound being on. Julie says you'll be able to put that information with Gleam. Gleam will pick the winners. Great. Okay. Any other questions, comments? Any other comments for Jane before we actually move on? Well, Lenora, thank you for putting some additional image options.
No, of course, of course.
Okay.
This is fun. You just asked me to look for happy dogs. Okay.
Well, and Lenora, this is a perfect example of one of those things that sometimes we're really good at it and we find a lot of joy in it. I'd say you and Karen are absolutely people who know how to and take a lot of joy in finding those images. Personally, finding the right image for a landing page is one of those things that I really hate. So I can kind of feel the frustration coming.
Let me do the pictures and you do the words and we'll team up. We'll be just perfect.
Well, and that's exactly it. That's a huge part of why we're here at Working with Doug, right? That's a huge part of why we have these Q&As and why everyone participating is so, so invaluable, because we are so good at very different things. I mean, Nick and I have, you know, our science and our art hats that we wear most comfortably, but everything becomes better because we're not trying to do it all and not trying to stress ourselves out to do it all. So thank you all for participating. And Jane says, thanks for the feedback. Okay, I know we have Lenora's question. Any other questions we need to get to today? Let's see. We have Gwen entering the room. Okay, Lenora, why don't you share your link and let's take a look at it.
It's in the chat.
Okay. Oh, yes. And Lauren says, just wanted to say this is the first time I've come to a Zoom and haven't participated, but this has been great for learning. Thank you. Thank you, Lauren. Welcome. And we hope to see you back. These Q&As are really, really about diving in, helping each other with those specific questions that help move our businesses forward. And actually with that, so Lenora, forgive me for 1 minute. I'm going to do a little PSA, which I did last month as well. So if you are not aware of the data and analytics side that we provide here at Working with Dog, I want to talk to you about it for a minute. Because after the last Q&A, I did a little announcement about it, and so many more people came to office hours with me. Twice a month, I do office hours on Facebook. You can come in, drop a question, ask whatever you want about your business. And within the next 24 hours, I will respond back to it. Now, the thing that a lot of people didn't realize is that I will actually go into your Google Analytics, your Facebook Analytics, your Shopify Analytics, whatever it is. I'm a data geek. You know, I'm a hardcore data girl. I love data and I love finding patterns in data. And what happened this past month was a lot of people just said, okay, I'm going to give you access to look at my analytics and I don't even know what to ask. Can you just take a peek? And I see Jennifer going, yeah. Jennifer, can you tell us a little bit about what happened this month?
I got homework. Yes. No, I got way more information back than I expected. So Jane, thank you for all of that feedback about some big issues that I could address right away. That's going to affect everything. The good news is that I am working with a web designer for my next website, and I'm hoping that is going to be done in the next couple of weeks. So I'm not messing too much with the old website, because I'm hoping that I can forget that existed and move over with all that data coming with it too. But yes, very insightful on things to work on.
Great. So thank you, Jennifer. And so if you have not already done this, consider adding me to your analytics, whatever platform you choose, and coming to my next office hours and just saying, hey, can you take a peek? Is there anything that you're noticing? Or, hey, what does my data look like month over month? Are you seeing any trends? Is anything sticking out? Someone literally said that this month, just what sticks out? And I am more than happy to take a peek, call out, hey, you know, I think that your bounce rate is a little high, or I'm noticing these really good things in your trends. And I look at pet business analytics all day, almost every day. So I'm able to call out to you, hey, this is where I think your website, your social media, wherever, is either really working well or could be working better. And what a lot of folks have discovered is that they'll come, they'll ask those questions. I'll say, here, work on these things. And then you can come back in 2 weeks or you can come back in a month, say, hey, Jane, I did it. Go take a peek, and I'll go take a peek again, and we can talk about next steps. And that is just a huge value that folks have been getting out of the office hours. So I hope you will take advantage of it. All you have to do is add jane.harrell@gmail.com to your analytics, and I'll dive in, take a peek. And that also really helps us here at Working with Dog to look at what's working for all of you. We don't sell this data. We don't share this data, but we do look at trends of, hey, what's driving traffic to you? What are the averages? What are the healthy metrics? What are the not so healthy metrics? So that helps us really help you more as well.
So I was one of those that I think it is Karen just posted and said, okay, Jane, I have no idea. I've had Google Analytics for years and it means nothing to me. So it was really helpful because first of all, Jane said I was doing something right, even if I don't know what I'm doing, but also just gave me some homework, which some very easy to understand actionable things, which I often find the whole SEO thing a little overwhelming. So just bite pieces to go at is really helpful. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Karen. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for sharing your stories. And this is just a very underutilized aspect of working with Dog here. So the more we get members to use it, the happier we are. Okay, Lenora and Allison, I look forward to seeing you there during my next office hours. Lenora, let's jump up and go to this link. And I'm going to share my screen again.
While you're opening on page 8 at the bottom. So I started doing photography for this magazine. So basically, it's an ad in exchange for images. It's a luxury magazine, which I'm hoping goes to the people that I'm trying to start there at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So it's just something that I just recently started, but I've only got like 5 magazines, but this is kind of like the basis of the ad that I currently have in there. And then I've got the QR code to go to a landing page.
Great. So custom wall art, photography featuring the ones you love most. From the initial consultation to delivery and installation, I'm there by your side. We couldn't be happier with the finished product, Shelley B. And it has your phone number. It has the QR code. It doesn't have your web address. But here, I'm going to make this bigger.
Yes, and nothing's clickable.
This is clickable?
No, like if I'd like the phone number, an email address, a website, none of that is clickable. So that's why I use the QR code instead.
And tell me about your, we've talked about it, but just so everyone can hear, who's your ideal client? Age, demographics, psychographics?
And so my ideal client is really a small business owner that, because I enjoy doing branding and dogs. So I enjoy doing both. So I try to incorporate it together. That's why I started off this Zoom asking about a branding thing, but now like I'm on dogs. So my favorite client is a small business owner, female, 40 plus, that is leveling up her business, working on her designs, but she also is married, may or may not have a kid, but she definitely has 1 or 2 dogs, loves to travel and enjoy hiking and being outdoors.
I love it. I love
that. That's in a nutshell, my person. And also, with my process, I go through a lot of steps. I'm doing a lot of handholding. I'm doing a consultation. I'm meeting them at their home. I'm meeting the kids. I'm meeting the dogs. I'm helping their plan. I'm helping with the clothing. I'm doing all the things. So I'm more of a boutique style photographer and honestly higher price than most.
Love it. So Lenora, if someone's, you know, let's go to the rule of threes, 3 seconds, 3 minutes, 3 hours. If someone's looking at this for 3 seconds, what are they going to get?
I'm hoping dogs and custom wall art.
I think custom wall art, yes, not dogs.
Okay. Well, dogs with family, because the family image has dogs in it too.
So, and do they print this out or is it just digital?
It's both.
It's both. So they print it out. You can be, you know.
Yeah. So there's a select. So they do it, you know, selective neighborhoods.
Yep.
Yeah.
And always in color?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So my eye is drawn to custom wall art and then immediately to the subtitle there. But the subtitle being in script makes it hard to read. So I don't get that. I don't absorb it in the 3 seconds. Window. The dog being brown with the brown background and the off-white background there makes the dog fade into the background for me. So, and the people on screen at least are too small for me to really see. So I think one of the first things I would do with testing this versus another version is custom wall art the number one thing that your ideal client will have their ears perk at? Or is it something else?
Well, the idea is to basically, I provide finished products. Mm-hmm. And if they purchase like a wall art or something like that, then they get a social media size digital file. I don't sell digitals.
But why is wall art important?
Because that's the thing that I sell.
Say that again.
So, because that's what I sell.
Why is wall art important to me as your customer?
To decorate your home with your family, which is what I'm trying to say in the second line.
So I think you're closer to it. Decorating your home with your family, decorating your home with the things that you love most, with the people you love most, with the things that get your heart fluttering, whatever it is. I don't think custom wall art is necessarily gonna draw that person that you described.
Okay.
I think it's an emotional appeal first. Custom wall art feels like office furniture.
Okay.
To me, it doesn't have an emotional aspect to it. It's very functional. So if you're speaking to her, if you're speaking to this 40 plus business owner, loves her dogs, loves her families, wants to be surrounded and feel like her environment is truly her and reflective of her, I would speak to that first. And I think actually this month is perfect because if you go and look at the sales page, look at that title and the three questions that Nick asks, and do this exercise with your title and your subtitle here.
Okay.
And see what you come up with. Come back next time and show it to us. Show it to me during office hours, Nick during workshop hour, or the Q&A. Any of those would be fine. But typically in an ad like this, going to that target customer, the emotional appeal of what are you going to get emotionally, or what are you risk losing?
Okay. Yeah, I do have a hard time writing from an emotional aspect, like period, because I'm more of a direct, you know, ex-CPA. I just don't, the fluffy stuff doesn't really come into my, so yes, I do have, so yeah, those are excellent points. And now that you've said it, it's very obvious. And somebody said, Jennifer, yeah, that is a landing page. Do you see other things that take you? You shouldn't.
I didn't see any of the navigation, but just, it didn't speak to, oh, you found me in this advertisement kind of thing. So it looked like it was just all your general information, didn't speak to me coming from this magazine or this area, if that's important, and maybe it isn't.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Okay. I think it is important. So thank you for noticing that, Jennifer. I wasn't going to test the QR code, so I'm glad that you did. If you make the effort of creating a QR code for a specific ad like this, I would classically create a specific landing page that says, welcome Woodlands Lifestyle readers, and say, hey, you know, this is our deal, this is what we do, and really go into, this is your sales page. You know, do the sales page exercise and have that be your landing page. It doesn't have to be something that is completely unique. Like if you were to place this ad and that QR code in a totally different magazine, you could reuse that landing page and just have a different, you know, welcome New York Times readers,
right?
Whatever it is. You can do the same thing for your webinars that you're doing. Welcome brand attendees, welcome whatever it is, and have that same exact flow. So you can reuse it time and time again, but having a place that speaks to and grounds, oh, I'm in the right place as soon as I click, or as soon as I take my phone out and test the QR code, can be really powerful.
Okay.
And then let's see. So some other folks are giving some feedback. Allison says, I personally would pick a different family image because I can barely see the dogs. So if you want to highlight dogs, I'm not sure it does that. Also would be surprised if many people go to the trouble of scanning a QR code. Do you have an easily typable URL you could use? So I agree with this. I think, Lenora, if you can find one image that speaks to family and dogs instead of the two separate, okay. it's going to make it much easier for small scale.
Yeah, and I was trying to use studio and outdoors is what I was trying to do, but I can see that one image would be more powerful.
Yeah, and I think given this audience, enough of them are going to assume that you have studio capabilities. So I wouldn't think that you have to have the studio image to show your studio or to elaborate on the fact that you do in studio. So if I had to choose one, I would choose an on-site, not an in-studio photo. Okay. And just make it much, much, much easier to see this is a family, this is a dog, this is, or, you know, if you're doing this for a branding exercise, this is a professional with a dog as well. Okay. And then to Allison's point about the URL, one of the things that I asked about not having your URL is a lot of people to this day, even after the pandemic, even after going to restaurants where you have to have a phone with a QR reader to get a menu, to this day, a lot of people still don't know how to use QR codes. Okay. So I love that you have the QR code there, but I would add, you know, lenorastein.com or lenorasteinphotography.com/woodlands or okay. Woodlands
Magazine. Yeah, it's so long.
People will type it out sometimes easier than they'll use the QR reader.
Okay.
And the core is really making it easy.
Okay.
And let's see, Jane says, from my experience, people don't necessarily go shopping for custom wall art. They want beautiful images of their dog that strikes an emotional chord. Yes, absolutely. And some other comments about the layout of the testimonial of the words. I personally just have a hard time scanning script.
Okay.
So unless you're using it at a really big format, like unless you're using it for the custom wall art font and nowhere else, it's going to be hard to read.
Okay.
And
I was trying to find a script that showed luxury, but easy to read. And this is the closest thing that I could find that answered that, because most scripts are hard to read. I totally agree.
Most of them just are. So could you go for something that, I mean, you have the serif font here, which, you know, tends to connote an older world style. And I'm going to leave the talking about font styles and personas to Nick, because that is her jam and not mine. But is there some way that you could almost go with a handwritten font here at a larger scale that would be a little more readable, but still read the same way? Go to workshop hour with Nick and talk to her about that specifically. It can work really well on a website, but not necessarily in an ad at a smaller form as well. So I'm not saying change your website. I'm saying for this ad, it's problematic.
No, I'll get Karen, before you have to go, can you tell me what you mean by this is your testimonial? Would you mind elaborating on that so I know what you're saying?
Oh, sorry. It was just to say that the word, when I said the word couldn't, I'm talking about in your testimonial. With the script font. It just that because of the way the font works, there's, you see how that apostrophe just seems kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And I don't know if there's an extra space or if it's just the way the font works. And like I said, I'm not a graphic designer, so I don't have
a
solution. It just struck me as what on earth was that?
Yeah, so. No, you're totally right. Thank you so much for mentioning that. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Y'all are also super helpful. Thank you so much for your comments. I really do appreciate y'all not being shy and telling me. It helps a lot. Thank you.
Well, and Lenora, you know, the fact that you are brave enough to show us your ad, you know, same with Jane, you know, this is not for the faint of heart. So I love that you're both so brave. I love that you're willing to get group feedback. I think everyone is giving really good, well-meaning feedback and things that are going to really help raise your game. So the fact that you are moving into this space, the fact that you are doing this exchange and getting your name out there, Lenora, don't stop. Don't stop to perfect it, okay?
Right.
Doing this. But now that you've done it, and now that you're getting better at it, just start massaging it. Start working on it. And same thing with you, Jane. Don't stop the contest. Do it. But these are little ways to make it even better. Okay? Okay, and let's see, we have one last question, which I'm going to go into really quickly. Jennifer says, a quick sales page question, would it be better or not matter to create my sales page as part of my website, WordPress, or using my email provider, ActiveCampaign? Jennifer, a lot of it depends on how you're driving to it and what kinds of analytics you're going to need for it. So if you are driving to it from Facebook ads, for example, ActiveCampaign might be easier to integrate. Or if you are using WordPress, make sure that your custom events, custom pixel events are working well. From a user standpoint, I don't think it matters. From an end user standpoint of WordPress versus ActiveCampaign, although I think ActiveCampaign does allow you to do little things like getting rid of the nav bar up at the top, which has been shown statistically to increase conversions because people don't get distracted and go look at other things on your website. So in short, I'd say generally it doesn't matter as much for the user around what platform you're using. Make sure that either way, it's not going to distract the user and allow them easy ways to go off and like go check out and explore other things. You want them to stay in the funnel. And then also make sure that your analytics from wherever you're driving them from to this page are set up correctly and tested prior to really driving a lot of traffic there. So if you're doing Facebook ads, Facebook Pixel, if you're doing Google Ads, having your Google events, custom events set up in analytics or in Google Tag Manager, or otherwise just really looking at, if you're using something like Shopify, looking at the stats of where people are coming from and how they're using that page. Okay.
That was all. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, Jennifer. Okay, everyone, great seeing your faces. Wonderful chatting with you. Thank you so much for all the feedback. And I love these Q&As. I love seeing what you guys are doing. You're really knocking it out of the park. And don't forget, if you have any questions about how to get that data access that I mentioned, email hello@workingwithdog.com and Susan will walk you through how to get me that access. Okay, thank you all. Bye.